I want to welcome you this evening and thank you for tuning in or watching or whatever it is that the appropriate phrase is. Whether it is watching it as it's first broadcast at 6:30 on Sunday evening, Sunday the 22nd of March 2020, or whether it's at a later date, we're praying that God will bless you for watching this gospel message whenever it is that you do. It is to preserve some sense of normality in these strange times that we're living in, and the strange circumstances in which we're speaking this evening, that I'm speaking in the hall where we would normally speak, where under normal circumstances that I would be speaking this evening. But you know, and I know that the situation in our country, in our world this evening is anything but normal. It's witnessed by the fact that I'm preaching again this evening to empty seats, so there's an empty hall before me. It's witnessed by the fact that actually, instead of the hall being, if anything, a little bit too warm this evening, it's freezing because the heating isn't on. But there we go. It's even more disconcerting, I suppose, that this evening I'm preaching not to a hall full of people, but to a picture of myself on a computer screen. And I know what the preachers mean when they say, "Well, I'm speaking to myself." It's also different this evening because there's obviously no singing. You can be thankful for that. I'm not going to be serenading you tonight. But what I would like to do before we start, before we open the scriptures, before we look into the Word of God and see what God would have to say to us tonight, I'd like to open this time with a brief word of prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come into thy presence this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, Father, for this means whereby, even though we are not able to gather together as we would normally do, yet the word of God can still be preached, and we can still listen, and we can still hear from the comfort of our own homes the things that thou wilt have to say to us this evening. Now, Father, we do think again of the Apostle Paul when he was in prison, when he would say that the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. As he would say that the word of God is not bound, that even though he might be in chains, yet the word of God was going out. And we thank thee, Father, for the internet. And we thank thee, Father, for this method of connectivity when we can broadcast the Word of God to whoever would care to listen and wherever they might be in this world of ours this evening. And we're so conscious, our Father, that wherever we are in the world, the need is the same. We're conscious, our Father, in these days of the particular need in relation to the virus that is crippling our nation and crippling the world. But we're conscious, Father, of an underlying need. The need of salvation. The need of the forgiveness of sins. The need to be right with God. The need to be ready for heaven. The need for peace and joy and security. And so, our Father, we just commit ourselves to thee this evening, and we commit thy word to thee. We pray that as we open it now, that thou wilt just give us an understanding, quiet in our hearts, in thy presence. For we're conscious, our Father, that even though we might not be gathered in a place of worship this evening, yet thou art there. And thy presence can be made known, and thy presence can be felt. And thy voice can be heard. And thy spirit can be at work moving in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls and bringing them to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And so we pray to this end this evening, O God, that thou wilt glorify thy name. We pray that thou wilt magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that as a result, that thou wilt pour out thy blessing in salvation. upon many this evening. So, our Father, we commit ourselves to Thee. We look to Thee for Thy help as we give Thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As we do week by week, I'd like to turn to the Scriptures now, the Word of God, and I'd like to read in the letter to the Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, and in chapter 1. I'd like to read from verses 16 to verse 18. Now, at this point, I would normally pause and wait for people to find it in their own Bibles, but on this occasion, I'll just carry on reading. And if you want to turn to it, you can turn to it. And if you'd like to listen, then I'll read as clearly and plainly as I can. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says this. Paul's writing and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or hold down or suppress the truth in unrighteousness." I will look to God to bless too as the reading of his word this evening. It is in times like this, it is in a world like this, a world that is going through chaos, a world that is going through turmoil, a world that is going through such uncertainty, that this message that we have to preach from the Word of God this evening, that this message is a message that deserves to go out to the farthest corners of our planet tonight. It's a message that deserves to be the clarion call of every Christian in our world. As we would say with the Apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And this despite the things that are happening, and despite the turmoil, and in spite of everything that is going on, and all the questions that people would have, we can say, and say with assurance, "I am not ashamed." Not ashamed. It is a message that deserves to go viral. It's a message that deserves to be shouted from the rooftops. It's a message that deserves to be broadcast in every street of every nation in this world of ours this evening. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I want to think about this message this evening. I want to think about this gospel, this good news, in a world where there is, quite frankly, this evening, so little good news, where you only have to open the paper, listen to the radio, look at the news feeds on the internet to have bad news assail you minute after minute after minute. But in the midst of the turmoil and in the midst of the bad news, we have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. A message of hope, a beacon of hope in a dark world, a light in a dark place, a message in the midst of so much suffering and so much death that would speak of life and joy and peace and forgiveness. The good news of Jesus Christ. If you were to look further back in this letter, right to the very beginning of the letter, in fact, to the very first verse of this letter, you would read there that Paul would speak of the gospel of God. The gospel of God. And this would tell us something of its source. This would tell us something of its origin. This would tell us something of where this good news comes from in the first place. It is the gospel of God. Now, in our society today, in our world today, this would seem to be a strange thing For the general impression is that it seems to be going around that anything about God, any message that is about God or would come from God, can only be bad news. But nothing could be further from the truth. For the message of the gospel and the gospel of God is a gospel that demonstrates that God loves us. To put it personally, as I want to speak to you as an individual this evening, that God loves you. That he cares about you deeply. And that in his wisdom, he's found a solution to your deepest need. For our deepest need this evening is quite simply the fact that we're at a distance from God. Our deepest need is quite simply the fact that through our sin and our waywardness and our self-will, we have offended the God of heaven. And we need to be reconciled to him. And if we're ever to enjoy the bliss and the joy of his heaven in his presence forever, we need to be made right with him. And the gospel of God is God's answer to our need. From the very beginning, we've been trying to find our own way, and we've been trying to come our own way, and we've been trying to do our own thing. And every day we reap the consequences of that. Every day we come face to face with our failure to meet up to our own expectations, to meet up to our own standards. You see, the glorious message of the gospel of God is that God has provided a solution to make someone like me, who doesn't deserve to be in heaven, fit for his presence and fit for it forever. It's a message to be proclaimed from the rooftops. It's a message that is an absolutely amazing message. It's a message that is devised and comes from the very heart of the God of heaven, a God who loves you. And if you can't see that this evening, if all you can see is the turmoil of the world around you, I want to point you this evening to Calvary. I want to point you to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, Paul, in the verse that we're speaking about, he's spoken about the gospel of God. He's now speaking about the gospel of Christ. For this is its subject. This is what the gospel is about. This is what the gospel, the good news, centers around. It centers around the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is all about him. You know, sometimes we get the impression that the gospel is about us. That the gospel is God's rescue plan and God's rescue package for mankind, and so it is. We get the feeling, and we like to feel, that we are the centre of God's thoughts. But you see, the Lord Jesus is at the centre of the heart of God, at the centre of the affections of God. It is the Lord Jesus that the gospel is all about. The gospel isn't about my efforts to get right with God. The gospel is how God makes me right with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross of Calvary. And we want to think about that together this evening. There is no gospel without him. But I want to think, if we thought about where it comes from and we thought about who it's about, can you see in the verse that we've read about what it does, its power, the fact that the message of the gospel is a message that works? It's a message, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's a message that deserves to be unleashed into everyone, every single one of our communities. And it'll turn our communities upside down. It'll go and it will break down the The deepest barriers, it will take those that are most deep dyed in sin and will transform their lives. It is the power of God. It is God's dynamite. You know, when we use dynamite, it's to destroy. We can use it legitimately to break up to break up things, to do demolition work on houses or to or large buildings so that they can come down safely, or to blow holes in mines to be able to extract the things that we're after. Or we can use it destructively, and it is used destructively all the world over. But God's dynamite is different. God's dynamite is not to destroy, but it's to mend, to heal, to transform, to save, to heal broken lives, to heal broken hearts, to bring light into the darkness, to bring life out of death. The gospel message is a transforming message because it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10, he said the following. He says, "The thief comes not but to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy." And that's the dynamite of men, isn't it? That's the dynamite that we use. He says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly," or as we could put it, life in all its fullness. I want to ask you this evening, do you know something of the fullness of the life that Jesus Christ has to offer this evening? Do you know something of that fullness? I want to say, if that's something that you don't know, if you're still stumbling around in the darkness, you can find that fullness of life in Christ. And you can find it tonight. The gospel works. But we might ask another question. We might say, well, who does it work for? Who does this gospel work for? Well, you can see in the verse that we read, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, everyone who trusts. You see, there is a condition attached if you want eternal life. Eternal life is being offered to you freely through the Lord Jesus and through his work on the cross this evening. And we'll think about that briefly shortly. But if you want to know that eternal life, if you want to know the forgiveness of sins, if you want to know the joy, the peace, the certainty, the security that comes through Jesus Christ and what he has to offer, then quite simply, you need to come God's way. And you need to do what God asks. And you need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, it's not something difficult that we're asked to do. God doesn't set us an impossibly difficult task that we have to do in order to gain his favor. He doesn't give us a number of hoops that we have to jump through in order to fulfill his requirements. He's offering to us salvation, and he's offering it to us freely. And he's offering us the power of a transformed life in the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what he's asking you to do, as he asked me a number of years ago to do, is to put your trust in him for salvation, to take him at his word, to do as he's asked you to do. You know, we might ask another question. And that question is answered in the next verse, in verse 17. We might ask the question, well, why does it work? If you're telling me, you say, that the gospel works, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and you're telling me that nothing else works, then why does it work? Why is it that the gospel works? Why is it that the power of Jesus Christ works, and only that? Well, you see, it comes here in verse 17. It says, "For therein, in it, is the righteousness of God revealed. In it is the righteousness of God revealed. You see, the Bible brings before us a God who is just, a God who is righteous, a God who is holy. A God who has demonstrated that holiness, that justice, by giving us his commands, giving us his rules, giving us his expectations, giving us his blueprint for a healthy society. And we fail to keep it. And we fail to match up to the standard. And as a society, we've turned away from the plain, from the plain commands that God has given. And we've decided to make our own laws and to write God out of the statute books altogether. To write God out of our lives. To write God out of the equation. To write God out of history. To write God out of society. And we've turned our own way. And individually. And collectively. We constantly reap the consequences of that in broken hearts, in broken lives, in guilt, in shame, and in regret. But you see, the gospel proves that justice matters to God. For God doesn't just look at at humankind who has turned away from him and who have broken his law and say it doesn't matter. The Bible tells us about a God who is love. But a God who is love doesn't and cannot just turn to the sinner and say, well, I'm going to let you in anyway. Because that wouldn't be just. But the gospel reveals, and the gospel demonstrates, and the gospel proves the righteousness of God. And it proves that justice matters to God, because in finding a way in which sinners can be reconciled to himself, that way was that the full weight of justice, the full weight of a broken law, fell upon Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. I want you to think about that. To think about why it was that he was there. Peter says this, the Apostle Peter says this in chapter 2, is it, of his first epistle. He says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who's writing the letter that we've read from this evening, in his letter to the Galatians, would say this. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. And so the Lord Jesus at Calvary was the one who bore the consequences of a broken law. You see, you know, and I know that law breaking has its consequences, doesn't it? If I'm speeding and I'm caught, I expect to be fined and to have points on my license. If I steal and I'm caught, I expect to bear the consequences of that. If I tell lies in court, it's known as perjury, and I'm fined out. I expect to bear the consequences of that. The law, human law, has consequences, and so does God's law. And the consequences of the law are a curse. And the consequences of the law are the judgment of God. But Calvary shows me how much God values justice. Because the weight of the law, the weight of a broken law, fell upon his son. So Zechariah, he says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the one who is my companion. And the sword of God, the sword of divine justice, fell upon Christ at Calvary. If we were to turn over a few pages to chapter 3, you would find a consequence of the death of Christ at Calvary, another reason that justice matters, another reason that we would say that God cannot just brush sin under the carpet and just overlook it. For there it says in chapter 3, it says that God might be just, speaking about the death of Christ, speaking about the shedding of his blood at Calvary, that God might be just and the justifier, the just maker of him who believes in Jesus, of the one who believes in Jesus. So the wonderful truth of the message of the gospel, this message of which we need not be ashamed, is that it's possible to be just in God's sight. You know, a man a long, long time ago asked that question, can a man be right with God? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Through the Lord Jesus, through what he did at the cross of Calvary, we can be right with God. And not only can we be right, but God remains right and just as well. God can justly let me into heaven. The hymn writer put it like this: because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on Christ and pardon me. Well, there's pardon available this evening. Pardon for a broken law, pardon for sin. Pardon for sin, the hymn writer again says, and a peace that endureth. And it could be yours this evening through the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice the means by which it comes. We've spoken about it already. We've spoken about it to everyone who believes. But it's reinforced in verse 17 where it says it's from faith to faith. That is, it's from faith, it's faith from start to finish. It's not that I start off in faith, that I accept it, and then I'm justified by the things that I do. No, it's from faith. It's by faith, from start to finish. I'm cast upon God. There is nothing that I can do. And it's just trusting him. You know, someone has said that faith stands for this: forsaking all, I trust him. And that's true. But there's one final thing I want to think about before I finish. And that's simply the question, why do I need him? Why do I need him? You know, so often in our gospel preaching, this is where we start. We tend to start right at the right with the bad news, for this is the bad news. This is the consequences of rejecting the gospel, of rejecting Christ, of rejecting God's offer of salvation. And Paul is going to take it up in the next chapter or so and just develop it and outline it, and you can read it for yourselves. It speaks about the wrath of God being revealed. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, of people. The wrath of God. I want to tell you this evening that the message of the gospel reveals the seriousness of sin. It reveals the awful consequences of sin. And again, in order to do this evening, I want to point you to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at the cross. And in particular, I want you to look at the darkness, those 3 hours of darkness. If you don't know anything about the Christian message, maybe these things will be new to you. But the Lord Jesus, he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died. But from 12 o'clock noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over the whole earth or the whole land. And I want you to think about the darkness. And to tell me that sin doesn't matter. To tell me that sin isn't serious. I want you to look at the darkness and I want you to hear out of that darkness that awful cry. That cry that should never have come from the lips of the Saviour. That cry that he never deserved to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to look at the darkness and I want you to tell me there is no God. I want you to look at the darkness and I defy you to tell me that God doesn't care. For there in the darkness of Calvary, the wrath of the judgment of God fell upon the Son of God so that we might go free, so that it might never have to fall upon us. Oh, we deserve it. Paul, in these chapters that follow, he outlines the consequences of turning away from God, the consequences that come, the natural consequences, the progression of what happens when we give rein to our own desires and our own lusts. And he ends up his summing up as in a court of law, and he says that every mouth might be stopped and the whole world might become guilty or under judgment before God, under judgment in God's sight. We live in a world that is under judgment. The question may be asked and will be asked by many at this particular time, is this the end of things? Is this the end of the world? I want to say with the Lord Jesus, the end is not yet. There is a time coming for this world when the wrath of God will be poured out. That time is not yet. It is still the day of God's salvation. Today is the accepted time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the scripture says this. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There is wrath. There are consequences for those who reject God's offer of salvation. It's consequences that it's not his fault, it's consequences that we've brought upon ourselves because of our own waywardness and our own unbelief and our own failure. But the God of heaven is a God who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to call to you this evening to repent. I want to call to the nation, this nation of ours, this world of ours, to repent. We've written God out of society. We've written God out of our thinking. We've turned away from him. And we need to repent. I want to say what repentance is not. You know, we could say, well, I'll say I'm sorry and then God will lift the circumstances that we're passing through, whether it is the wider circumstances that we're looking at, or in terms of the virus that's sweeping our nation, that we say, if I turn back to God, will he take it away? Or whether it's our personal circumstances, personal heartache, personal heartbreak, I want to call us to a true and genuine sorrow and a mourning for the fact that we've sinned against God. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his salvation, but in his infinite love, he has provided it at such tremendous cost to himself through the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. May God bless you this evening. May God speak to your heart. May God reveal to you your need. And may God reveal to you above all the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet you in your need. Shall we pray? Our God, we thank you this evening for thy word. We thank you, Father, for the simplicity of it. We thank you, Father, for the fact that it is good news. Good news to a world that is without God, without hope. And Father, we thank thee for the tremendous news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, bless thy word to each one that's watching now, to each one that might watch later. We just commit thy word to thee and ask thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for watching this evening. It's slightly longer than I had anticipated being today. And if you've managed to get this far, if you've managed to get to the end of the message, thank you for bearing with me, for watching all this way, and may God bless you for doing so. God willing, we will be posting other meetings in coming days and weeks, as long as this particular situation continues. And if you have been spoken to by the message this evening, then please pass the link on. Please make it as widely known as possible so that others can listen, others can have the opportunity of being brought into contact with this amazing message of God's salvation, and might come to know the Lord Jesus as their own personal saviour. Thank you for listening, and good night.